The scripture reading today is from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. You can find it on page 593 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles and on the monitors. With their mouths, the godless would destroy their neighbors, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Whoever belittles another lacks sense, but an intelligent person remains silent. A gossip goes about telling secrets, but one who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a confidence.
So today I want to revisit a theme that we explored back when I did a series on the book of Proverbs, and this reading was one of those readings out of that series. Because in Proverbs, as you'll learn today, there's a theme about using your words for good. And so this is part of what I want to share with you, some of my final wisdom these last few weeks that I have with you, is to remind you of the power of words. Words can be used either for good or for bad. And when they are used for bad, they are terribly destructive, as we all know. They can be harm done within the family setting. They can tear up a congregation. They can hurt a work environment. Can tear up neighbors. It has all kinds of negative impact. And so I want to begin by the little rhyme that you know all too well from your childhood, because probably every one of us used it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words can never hurt me. Now, we said that when we were on the brink of tears, when our stomach was in a knot, because somebody had just said something very mean or ugly to us. And we were trying, by saying that little saying, to not give them the power of their ugly, evil words. And yet the damage was done. That is the power of words for the negative. Don Miguel Ruiz said that the power of vocabulary, the human language, is the most beautiful tool ever created. If you think about it, language is what sets us apart from all the rest of creation. It is perhaps the means by which God has chosen to be able to communicate with us most intimately. Through our words and our conversations that God can have with us and that we can have with God. And then Don Miguel Ruiz went on to say, but your words are like a two-edged sword. They can either cut something and make a beautiful shape and create something magnificent, or they can cut to the very core of your heart and leave a path of destruction. That's why the Bible spends quite a bit of time challenging us to think about the words that we speak. Proverbs is full of these sayings like today's text that reminds us to choose our words carefully and carefully use them when we speak. And if you haven't caught on, Jesus warned us that when we are judged, we're going to be judged as much by what we said, by the words we've used with others, as by our actions. Just contemplate that serious thought for a moment, that we will be judged as much by what we say as by what we do. And if you read the rest of the New Testament, Paul's letters to the churches, you'll see that one of the common issues that Paul has to address with these new churches is the way they were hurting each other with their words. So there's a message for churches in this. Paul admonishes us to use our words to build one another up and not to destroy each other. I want to tell you a true story It's a story that Rob and I encountered a few months ago for a book that we read for the book club that we attend. And it was about two women during World War II. They were lovers who lived in Paris, and when the Nazis came into France and began their occupation of France, they moved from Paris to the Isle of Jersey. Their names are Claude Cahun and Marcel Moore. They decided to use words and the power of those words in the resistance. They were part of the French resistance against the Nazis. And on their little island, they had hoped to be at peace, but the Nazis came there because they used the Channel Islands as jumping off places to launch their attacks of Britain. So their safety was short-lived. But one of them spoke fluent German, and they had in their possession a typewriter. Now, this might not seem much to you at first, but for the almost 5 years that their home was occupied by the Germans, they used the power of words and their typewriter to get under their skin. They would take sheets of paper and type out small, one or two line at the most, slogans or words to get at that soldier's morale, to leave a little message reminding them of the ugliness that Hitler was doing in the world, or even to remind them, you know, aren't you getting heartsick and wouldn't you rather be back home with your family than out fighting the world? And these women would sneak around anywhere on the island that soldiers would gather, the bars and the businesses they would frequent, and they would sneak these messages in, drop them in their pockets or slip them in their cigarette case or drop them on the floor of a bar or near the bar stool where they're sitting so they might just pick it up and read it. And in 4 years' time, they whittled down the morale of these Nazi troops on the Isle of Jersey. It drove the commandant there just totally nuts. He trying to figure out who was doing this to his army. And they finally found these two middle-aged women who looked like your typical villagers, and they couldn't begin to think that these two women had the power and the wisdom to do such an act. So needless to say, they were brought into trial, and that commandant served both as their judge and jury. He found them guilty and sentenced them to death. And this is what he said. With bullets and bombs, we can go out and assess the damage that is done. But with words, you never know the power that a word has to destruct. Luckily, they weren't killed because it wasn't shortly after they were sentenced that the whole occupation of France became liberated by the Allied troops, and they were pulled out of prison before they could be executed. But it's an amazing story of two people who use the power of words to confront evil in the world. While none of us may do anything quite so dramatic or glamorous, we have the same power within us to use our words for good. So first I want to unpack three ways that you can prevent from using words in a negative way. And then we'll talk about how you can use words in a positive way. The three tricks, I think, to keep you from stumbling and getting into trouble with your words is first think of the word itself. How many words do we have in our vocabulary that hurt? Derogatory words, slurs, racial comments, comments about someone's physical being. If you go to the Los Angeles Museum of Tolerance, they have a section of that museum where you walk through this area and all of those kinds of ugly, evil words I'm talking about are just bombarded out of loudspeakers at you as you walk through the space. It's quite memorable. You will never forget it if you experience it. Because we know what that third grade bully did to us with the words that he or she used. We know the heartache that's caused when someone who loves us uses some word against us. We'll long forget how much they love us, but we will never forget the word they said. So we need to call out these words for what they are, and we need to call out people when they use them. Because every one of us knows better. We've been taught not to use those words, so we can't come up with an excuse, oh, I didn't know that was something I shouldn't say, because we all know what those vocabulary words are that should not be used. And anytime you hear someone using one of those types of words to hurt someone else, rise to the occasion, show some courage, and point out the evil that they're doing. We need to do that from the bullies in our play yards who are still terrorizing children today, because it's always happening and will always happen in our schoolyards if we don't. But you know, unfortunately, it is happening in our world with our current president, and somebody needs to call him out. He needs to know that every time he confronts one of his political adversaries or foes, the first thing he does is belittle them. He makes up some name for them, and that is sheer evil. The man must know better than that, I think. I don't care whether you like him or not. Even if you like him, you should not like that. And we need to point that out. That is not the kind of example we need. If we're going to have peace in our world, that is not the way to do it. So be careful the words you use. Do not go to those negative words. You will never have friends if you do. Second thing I've learned about how to be careful with your tongue: before you want to say something, do the 10-second rule. Count to 10 slowly, and then say what's on your mind. It may save you and somebody else a lot of pain. Because at least it may say, is that really what I want to say? Is that really the word that I want to come from my mouth? And then the third point is, you can always do what my grandmother said, and maybe your mama or grandmama said it to you. If you can't say anything good about somebody, then just don't say it at all. Those are your three tips to help you get over that. So positive, what can we do with positive words? I am convinced we do not do enough, and I'm going back to the Apostle Paul here, who encouraged the churches, the people of the churches, not the churches, the people of the churches, to build up each other through their words. Words of encouragement and words of gratitude make all of the difference in the world. I hope you know by now that I try to show gratitude to you for everything you do, to express my thanks. Because as a leader of an organization or a pastor of a ministry or a boss at work, no matter your setting, when people are doing something for you, you need to say thank you. My other place of employment, that does not happen, and the morale is pretty bad, and it's always been bad, and it's because managers never are wise enough to learn how to say thank you. Your people will do much more for you if you show gratitude than if you don't. They'll be happy to do almost anything for you if you've expressed some words of appreciation along the way. And words of encouragement. Many of you have worked in settings with children where you know the value, or you know it yourself from your own childhood experiences. You go much further in life when somebody says, I'm really proud of you. Or you really gave that a good try. Or what a good job you've done. That's what you remember and hold on to. The people who affirmed you. There's not enough affirmation going on in our world today. We're too busy tearing one another apart. So use your words to bless others. Because don't you know how good it feels when somebody does it for you? When somebody says to you, that's a great job. Or thank you for helping me with this. Or it really mattered when you called and asked how I was doing. Show your appreciation. Show that you understand the gift you have been given. And use your words for good. We have the most powerful weapon at our disposal. It's our vocabulary, our language. It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world, as I said, or the rest of creation, as I have said. And I like to think that God created that gift in us for two reasons. We just had liturgy that talked about God speaking to us. God created us with the ability to communicate in words so we can talk to God and God can talk to us. Why else do we need the gift, right? The rest of the animal world seems to get by just fine making their sounds or movements or motions and communicating, but God gave us words to use so that we can be in relationship with God. So use your words to praise God. But then God also gave us words to be able to talk and understand one another. And use that power you have to bless the other, not to curse them. If we're ever going to have any sense of peace in our life, we've got to start with the words that we use. Amen.